This week we're looking at how God cares for us, and next week we're going to look about how we care for each other. And this is kind of a setting the stage for a new ministry that we're developing here at the church called Care Ministry. And CARE stands for Compassionate, Authentic, Relational Encouragers. I'm going to take that water if you don't mind. For some reason, I was fine until I stepped up there. I guess I got nervous. If you're watching from online, we just want to welcome you this morning, and we try to keep it real around here. So compassionate, we have to do things out of love for one another. Authentic is it's got to be real. We got to really care for one another. Relational is that's what it's all about, and I'll be talking about that more next week. And then encouragers, we want to be people that encourage one another. We want to encourage each other to go on in the faith and really to grow and develop our relationship with God. So you'll be hearing more about that as the days unfold. We're going to be taking a look at one of the most popular kind of classic passages of Scripture this morning. And it's one that's recited at weddings and funerals and baptisms and offers words of comfort and hope and peace and protection. So King David was the writer of the 23rd Psalm. And he tended sheep, so he understood the responsibility, the sacrifice, and the value of providing provision and protecting the sheep. Very fragile animals. And David, in Psalm 23, is speaking not as a shepherd, which he was, but he's actually speaking as one of the sheep or one of the fold. David understood that what it was to take care of sheep and how important it was and the integral parts of making that happen. And I used to believe that the Lord calling us sheep was really a compliment. I pictured this gentle, timid, loving creature with soft white, a fluffy wool as something that the Lord, as he referred to us as sheep, was something that was cute and, you know, really kind of complimentary. But I've come to realize that you and I probably would change our mind on that, spending one day with sheep, and to realize that that's really not a compliment. And all those thoughts would quickly fade as in our minds as we spent some time caring for sheep. So there's many observations that can be made about sheep, and I've limited them for time's sake just to four. And I know you didn't come to church this morning to be offended or insulted, so please don't take this as an offense. I mean, I'm in this category too. But sheep are stupid and stubborn. My wife said amen. No, I'm just kidding. She's talking about me. Okay. Have you ever seen a trained group of sheep in a circus? I don't think so. I never have. And you know, you can train all kinds of animals. You can train massive elephants and lions and tigers. You can even train bugs. But sheep are not trainable. They just can't train. They have a tendency to be not so bright. Maybe that's a better word than stupid, okay? So not so bright, but they're very stubborn too. And they want to continue to do what they want to do. And the second thing I see about sheep is sheep are dirty and wayward. Sheep don't often learn from their previous mistakes. They'll do things and repeat behaviors over and over again. They're repetitious on that. In Isaiah 53:6, it says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way." And so we see that sheep are very similar to who we are. And sheep are dirty. Sometimes they're very unclean. They're smelly. They have no way of taking care of themselves or cleaning themselves. Sheep are defenseless and dependent. Sheep are not fast. They're not really good runners. They're cumbersome. They're awkward. They're top-heavy. They have these small, kind of short, spindly legs. And they can't really camouflage themselves. Can you imagine a sheep trying to camouflage themselves? They'll stand out wherever they're at. And they lack the ability to fight. They have really no kind of defense or whatever. I'm told that sheep only have one set of teeth. So probably the only real harm that they can inflict is maybe a hard pinch. So we see that. And they're dependent. They need many things done for them. And we can see the similarities between us and sheep. And number four, sheep are easily frightened and confused. I'm told that sheep can run off a cliff and they'll follow one another. There actually was an Associated Press article that came out of Turkey a while ago. There was a herd of about 1,500 sheep. There were 26 families that were kind of herding together. And one of the sheep ran off the cliff and they started following each other. At the end of it, there was over 400 sheep that had died. and the rest survived only because they fell on each other. So we can see that, they get confused and they panic and they even can spook each other. I don't know if you've ever seen sheep, like they'll get afraid and you'll see the whole flock just kind of run one way and run the other way. They don't even know what they're running from. Just the guy next to me ran, so I'm going to run too. But, it's interesting because you ask a child, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Or what kind of animal would you like to be if you had an opportunity? He'll say, oh, a tiger, a lion, a giraffe, whatever. But I never heard a child say, I want to be a sheep. And so we see So now that I've like totally insulted you and you're sitting there and saying, I came to church to be built up. And well, I'm in that category with you. And God sees us as the kind of people that need care. And we come to the realization that it's really no great claim to be called a sheep, but it's no accident that God calls us sheep because the behavior of sheep are very similar to our behavior. Often we're stupid and stubborn, dirty and wayward, defenseless and dependent, and easily frightened and confused. But it's comforting to know that in spite of all these characteristics, we have a shepherd, and he's not doesn't leave us because we're all these things and more. The Bible says this, that he loves us with an everlasting love, and he's committed to finishing the work that he started in our lives. God is not going to give up on us. He's going to complete the work that he started in our lives. No matter how long it takes or no matter what it takes, he's committed to finishing that and completing that. We have a shepherd who's chose us. He's called us by name. He bought us with a great price, and he delights in caring for us. And he has deliberately chosen you and I to be the objects of his affection. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take your great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." And so we see that God, even though he calls us sheep, he's committed to taking care of us and being there for us. And I've titled the message today, He Cares. And so we're going to just kind of take Psalm 23 apart verse by verse and take a look at that and kind of highlight some points. Now, most of you, if you've been in church life for any amount of time, you've probably heard numerous sermons on Psalm 23. Some of you could probably come up here and do this better than I do it, but unfortunately, you're stuck with me today. But but let's look at it together. Verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And what that really means is he's my guide, he's my protector, he's my constant companion. And so we come to the Lord, we realize that he's a very personal shepherd. When David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd," he was saying that he had a personal relationship with God and that it was God that cared for him. And Jesus said in John 10:14, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down or gives his life for the sheep." And so being a shepherd was no easy task. And we'll see as we talk about this a little bit this morning that there were some difficulties that were associated with caring for sheep and taking care of them. But the Lord is my shepherd, and I need to realize that he's my guide, he's my protector, he's my constant companion. And when we look at that, we say that's what relationship. God wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to know him, and he wants us to make him known to others. And we'll talk about that a little bit more next week. Second part of verse 1 says, "I shall not want," or "I shall not be in want." And realizing that, I come to a place of realizing this morning that I'm in proper care. I should be content and not craving or desiring for more. We've all met people that no matter what they obtain, they want more sometimes. And so they're never content with who they are. But when it comes to God in our relationship with him, he wants us to be content in his care for us. And so as a shepherd watches over the flock from early dawn, the first thing he does is he looks over the flock. As they're laying down, he visually takes inventory and looks at them. And he can, because he has a trained eye, he can tell if there's sheep that need special attention. And he'll give them that attention. And all day long, he has that sympathetic eye and he's examining the sheep to see if they're able. And then he finally gets them up on their feet and ready for the day. But in an instant, he can tell if the sheep need special attention. And shepherds, I'm told, sleep with one eye closed and both ears open. They're always looking out or watching for the sheep. Matthew 6:8 reminds us that your Father who knows what you have need of before you ask. You know, before we go to God and we ask him and we need to ask still, he knows what we have need of. Not what we want, because we all have wants, right? but he knows what we need, and he'll provide that for us. And just kind of give a definition to contentment is to be satisfied. And so I should be completely satisfied with God's management of my life. I should realize that I shouldn't be in want. And I call that supply. Verse 2 says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Because sheep are made up the way that they are, there's four conditions that have to be met before they'll actually lie down. And by the way, that's the time when, after they eat, that's the time when they would digest. But sheep will lie down only if these four conditions are met. They need to be free of fear. They need to understand or feel safe and secure, that there's nothing scary that's going on around them. They need to know that as a flock that they're free of fear. They need to be free of friction, which means that there can't be any tensions among the flock. They need to be free from flies or pestilence. There's these little flies, they call them nose flies, that kind of irritate the sheep. And the sheep won't lie down if the flies are flying around. You know, in the summer when those gnats start flying around you and you get all aggravated, you know, well, the nose flies can actually cause severe problems for sheep. And then they need to be free from hunger. If they're not filled, they won't lie down. A restless and discontented, agitated, disturbed flock does not do well. And that goes for our lives too. In Psalm 46:10, it says, be still and know that I am God. Coming to a place of realizing that God is God and who he is and who he really is in our lives and who he wants to be. And even if we haven't come to that place yet or we're just kind of experiencing that or starting out in that, God wants you to know that he's God and he takes care of you. Now, green pastures don't often happen. And you know, when I keep my eyes on the shepherd, then my eyes are not on my circumstance. And I need to realize that my focus needs to be on God. But green pastures don't necessarily just happen. There's tremendous labor that goes into creating green pastures. It takes time. The shepherd has to clear the land. He has to rip things out. He has to plow. He has to seed. And when God says he makes us lie down in green pastures, I call that rest. He brings rest to our souls. And then the second part of verse 2 says, he leads me beside a quiet waters. It's interesting because it says he leads me. And there was a group of tourists, they were in the Middle East, and they were on a tour guide, and the tour guide told them, they said, you know, sheep, the shepherd always leads from the front. He leads the flock from the front. So they went out and they were doing their tour, and they see this flock of sheep, and there's a shepherd behind them. So they were like, well, how come? So he goes, well, let me go ask. So he goes out and he talks to the shepherd, and he comes back on the tour bus, and he had this kind of weird look on his face, and he goes, that wasn't the shepherd. That was the butcher, you know? So the shepherd always leads from the front. Sorry about that. I ruined your day. He leads me beside still waters, okay? And the shepherd is always looking for ponds and inlets and places that are calm that the sheep can come and drink and be refreshed. And if they're not led to a good, clean water source, they'll actually search out their own, and they'll drink polluted water. They don't know the difference, which can create parasites and internal problems and disease. So we need to realize that the shepherd leads them beside quiet water. Jesus said in John 7:37, if anyone is thirsty, let him come and drink. And so the Lord provides that refreshment in our lives. Now, sheep are very timid. They're afraid of swift water. Somehow, instinctively, they know that they're not good swimmers. I guess, you know, carrying all that wool and getting it wet is going to cause them to become weighed down, and they won't be able to swim out of the situation. So if the water's moving, they won't even go near it to drink. And so the shepherd is always looking for still water, calm water, clean water. And if he can't find it, he'll actually create it himself. He'll take rocks and he'll build a still pool in a river, and then the sheep will come down and be able to drink. So the Lord leads us beside still waters. I call that refreshment. Verse 3 says, he restores my soul, or he revives my soul. And we all become distressed at times and stressed out, and we need to realize that we need to be restored. Now, David knew in his own life what it felt like to be dejected He tasted defeat. He was familiar with living under temptation and falling under that. He knew what it felt like to be hopeless and without strength. And so when David wrote this, he was just relating his own personal experience. And, you know, there's an old English term that when the sheep fall over on their back, they call that cast down. And what that is the sheep fall down and they frantically try to get back up on their feet. And if they can't get back up on their feet, they'll actually die in that position. And so the shepherd has to come along and he has to pick the sheep up and help them, and realizing that he restores our soul. When we're distressed and we're in situations and maybe overwhelmed by life, the Lord wants to come along and pick us up and get us back on our feet. I call that healing. Verse 3 continued, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, sheep are creatures of habit, like I said, and left to themselves, they'll go on the same trail till it becomes ruts. They'll eat from and graze on the same field until there's nothing left there. It's wasteland. And they'll even pollute their own ground. But the shepherd always leads. And sheep have a poor sense of direction. They can only see about 10 or 15 yards ahead of themselves. They have no built-in compass. They don't know when they get lost how to find their way back. I remember I spent 3 years of my childhood in Florida. And we left there when I was 6, and we had a dog. And because we were traveling back in the car, we had to give our dog away. And I remember we went to a friend's house, and we left the dog there. And I felt so sad driving back and knowing that was the last time I was going to see the dog. And then all of a sudden, about 10 minutes later, the dog showed up at the house. Found its way back, you know. But sheep don't have that built-in compass. I know there was years ago I had to trap some squirrels in my house. They were up in my attic, and I talked to the exterminator, and he goes, you got to drive them 5 miles away. I'm going, 5 miles away? He goes, oh, yeah, if you don't take them that far, they're going to find their way back home. So I remember I caught the first one. I was like, so I had it in the back of my van, and I took it to a nice park. I figured I'd, you know, treat it real good. So I let it out of the cage, and wouldn't you know, he started running right in the direction of my house. I'm like, I better hurry up and get home before the squirrel gets back, you know. But they have a great, but sheep don't have that sense of direction. They can't find their own way. And there's no other really class of livestock that needs more care and handling and direction than sheep. And sometimes in ourselves, we feel like we know what's best for us. I mean, I'm just speaking for myself, pretty much. Sometimes I know I have it figured out, you know, and I need to come back to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 4 and 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord God with your own heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. And so I need to realize in life, I've got to go back to the one that can give me clear direction. And so, you know, I realize that when he leads me, that I call that guidance. He provides guidance for me. And verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And this is the verse usually that we focus in on at funerals or whatever. But the sheep always go ahead the shepherd always goes ahead of the sheep. He'll never take the sheep to a place he hasn't already been himself. And he'll take them in and he'll lead them and guide them. And the valley of the shadow of death is actually a road that travels from Jerusalem to the Dead Sea. And it was a very narrow path and dangerous and potential for rock slides and cliffs and predators. And so the shepherd would lead them on that path. And sheep are not afraid when they're following the shepherd. And they know his voice. And the Lord says that we're to know his voice and to follow him. And I can walk through the valley of difficulty because he is with me. He is with you. We can go through things in life. It's interesting because we all experience testings and trials in our life. And in James 1, verses 2 through 4, it says, it encourages us that that trials and temptations are for a purpose. And the purpose is that they would develop perseverance in our lives. And so it says, count it all joy when you enter trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that we'll be mature and complete, So the process of testing in our life is that we would grow up, that we'd become more mature, that we would be more complete in following the Lord. And so we realize that one translation that of that verse is, count it all joy when you fall into difficulty. You know what I mean? And I don't know about you, when I go through a trial, sometimes I don't feel real joyful about it. But I got to know that, you know what? God's in this somewhere. He's working in my life, and he's going to bring me out of this, and I'm going to be more mature and complete. All right, it's a process. Perseverance is something that you can only develop by going through things. You have to go through situations and circumstances in life, and you have to learn how to persevere through them so that when the next opportunity comes, you can say, yeah, bring it on, I'm ready, because you can look back and say, you know what? God was with me then. He'll be with me now. And then it says, I'll fear no evil. And we come to 1 John 4:18. It says, perfect love casts out fear. See, when I'm in a relationship with the Lord and I'm experiencing his love in my life, I feel so secure. No matter what's going on around me, I know that I'm kind of in this environment of love. And so I feel good about that. Okay? That's testing and protection. Verse 4 continues, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And like I said, sheep are pretty defenseless and helpless, and they're easy prey. And so the shepherd carries a rod with him. It's about a 3 or 4 foot wooden club, almost looks probably like a baseball bat. And then he has a staff, which is about 8 feet long with a curve on the end. And the rod is the weapon of power, authority, and defense. That's how he protects the sheep. But the staff is used when the sheep lose their footing sometimes, they slip, that the shepherd can actually reach down and pull them back up to safety. It's interesting because when they hook the sheep, they don't hook the sheep around the neck. They hook them around the small of the chest and pull them in because they know that that's a safe place to do that. And the Lord sometimes has to rescue us. And the shepherd will risk his own life to save the sheep. In Luke chapter 15, it reminds us that Jesus said, I will leave the 99. And I just want to read a couple of verses from there. It's a parable that Jesus taught, but it said that Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous persons who need not to repent. And so we see that the Lord searches us out. And you know, if you're sitting there as a parent and you're wondering about maybe you got a child that's not really serving the Lord, you know what? Let the Lord find them and bring them in. We've got to continue to commit them to God's care. I remember growing up, my mom heard a message on faith, and she was encouraged in that message to write one thing down that she was going to believe God for and leave it with him. And she put down my salvation. She wrote on a piece of paper and she put it in her Bible. Now, my mother had prayed for my salvation many, many times, but she kept taking me back, you know, and taking responsibility for me. And she, that day she said, I put you in God's hands. And she said, I wrote that and I dated it and I waited. And you know what? The day came. And the Lord sought me out. And she showed me that paper. And I was like, wow, that's amazing, you know. But sometimes we need to realize that the Lord is the one. And the purpose of the rod is to defend and to discipline. But the purpose of the staff is to guide and nurture and rescue. And so your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And that's the discipline sometimes that we need in our lives. There's a woman who told a story. She went to the mountains of Switzerland and she was hiking and she came on a sheepfold and it was actually in a cave and she went inside and she talked to the shepherd. And when she went in, she saw the flock was all resting on one side, but there was one little sheep that was all by itself on some hay and had his leg all wrapped up. So she inquired, she said, you know, what happened to this one? He says, oh, you know, that was the one that kept wandering away. He was the one that kept leading the flock astray, kept taking him, wouldn't listen. He was the most difficult sheep I had. He said, so I've been doing this a long time. Unfortunately, I know what I had to do. I had to break its leg. He said, now I broke the leg, and when I went to feed the sheep, he tried to bite me. So I waited a couple of days. But now he eats out of my hand. And now he listens to me. And you know what? He's going to be the best sheep that I have. When he's fully recovered, he's going to be following. Now, that's kind of a sad story, and I'm not saying God's going to break our legs or anything, but the Lord disciplines us in love. It's always for our best interest. It's always for what needs to happen to us. And there's really a big difference between discipline and punishment. See, punishment is done in anger. And when we're punished, it makes us resentful. It brings up a rebellious insecurity that's there. But discipline, and this is the way God handles us, when discipline is done in love, it makes us secure. And it makes us realize that he really does love me. And sometimes, you know, God has to bring discipline into our lives, but it's always for our best interest. It's always for our benefit. And then verse 5, it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And like I said, the pastures sometimes needed to be tended to. There was poisonous plants that could be very fatal if the sheep ate them. And they have very soft noses, so they could scrape their noses on the plants and develop these ugly sores. So the shepherd would come in, and every spring he would clear the field. He would actually burn it down, so that when it came back up, it was ready and safe to graze. And our shepherd goes out before us and prepares the field for us. He takes care of us. And I just want to remind you this morning that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. As much as the enemy would try and to bring things into our lives, it's not going to prosper because God is with us. And then it says, the second part of verse 5, it says, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And after a day of grazing, the shepherd would stand at the sheepfold and he would examine every sheep that came through. And he would look, and he would look at their face, and he'd see if they had any kind of irritation. And like I said, sometimes there was these bugs that would get into their nose and they'd burrow in and they could cause infection or whatever. Well, what the shepherd would do is he'd anoint them with oil. He put oil on their face and on their nose to keep the bugs away because it was soothing, it was healing. And it was a mixture of olive oil and sulfur and spices. And it was something that promoted healing. And if you didn't take care of that that way, it could really develop into some real serious problems for the sheep. And we know that oil in Scripture is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I need a daily anointing of God's oil in my life, His Holy Spirit, to really help me live the life that He's called me to live. And then it says, my cup overruns, okay? And that same thing, as the sheep would come back to the fold at night, the shepherd would have a container there with fresh water, and he would dip his ladle in. He'd give them all a fresh drink and refresh them in that way. It was very individual and personal care that the shepherd has for the sheep. And he was concerned about each one. And I've given the illustration about my cup overflowing. And just in case you didn't hear it, I'll say it again. If you were at an event and your host was like, he wanted you to leave, you know, it was time to go home. He just wouldn't refill your cup. He'd say, oh, don't fill their cup anymore. And so after a while, you know, the staff would come by and you'd realize your cup wasn't filled anymore. You'd realize, okay, it's time I leave. And you just bow out gracefully and go home. Now, if he liked you, he'd fill the cup up and continue to fill it up. But if he really liked you, he'd fill it up till it overflowed onto the table. And then you knew, wow, I'm really in good company here. He really wants me to be here. And David said, my cup overflows. That's because God wants you there. He wants you there. He wants you to know that. And John 10:14 says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And so as we realize that the anointing that God puts on our head, that I call it consecration. And the cup that overflows or overruns, I call that abundance. And then in verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Now, David was an old man when he wrote Psalm 23. He was old. He had seen a lot. He had been through a lot. He experienced life. He knew the difficulties there. In Psalm 37:25, David wrote, I have been young and I'm now old. Yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. So he looked at his life and the scope of everything they'd been through, and he realized that the Lord was always there for him. He'd seen tragedy and disappointment. He'd seen the weakness of men and the wickedness of men. He'd seen the dark stain of sin in his own life, and yet he knew the goodness and mercy of the Lord. And you know, that's extended to us on a daily basis. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And we realize in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, it reminds us that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. It's always there. It's always, God is committed to that. He's committed to loving us unconditionally. And surely goodness is a blessing. And then it says in verse 6, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in his presence or his care forever. I don't know if you realize this, but you're really on a short lease. Short-term lease here on earth, when you think about it, you know, because we have a whole eternity that we're going to spend with God. And it says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that means for eternity. And so David saw himself as a recipient of all God's favor and blessing in his life. No matter what occurred in his life, no matter what he had been through, what he experienced, he was saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And he lists all those things that the Lord does for us and it takes care of us. And so just in closing this morning, I just want to give you a little story. It was two guys that were in a speech kind of challenge. And so the first guy that stood up was a young guy who had been trained in theater. He was an orator. He had a tremendous voice and just knew how to present material. And so he got up and he quoted the 23rd Psalm. And the people broke into applause, and they were like, they wanted an encore. They wanted to hear it again. It was so amazing. And then the next man got up, and he was an older man, and he walked up with his cane, and he had a kind of, you know, shaky voice, and he recited the 23rd Psalm. And there was no reaction from the crowd at all. There was a silence that fell over the crowd. It was almost like there was a reverence that happened there. And the young man sat there for a few minutes, and he came back up to the mic, and he said, I want to tell you what's happened here today. I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd. So I want to encourage you, you know, do we just know the psalm or do we know the shepherd? Do we know God's care in our life and how he wants to express that to us and really bring that home? And so I want to encourage you that, you know, even during this week to realize whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever life is bringing you, realize that God is with you. You're not alone. And he's watching over you and taking care of you and providing for you. And so next week, we're going to take a look at how do we care for one another. But this is God's care for us. He loves you with an everlasting love. And that'll never change. He'll never give up on you. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for this opportunity to share this morning. Thank you for your people. And God, we thank you for this great passage of Scripture, a classic. But Lord, it's a reminder of how much you do love and care for us. And I thank you for each one that's here today, those that are listening online. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone that's just struggling with any difficulty in their life, God, that they would feel your embrace and your love, and God, that you would carry them through. We thank you for your commitment to us. In Jesus' name, amen.